Hi everyone, it's me, Tessa Sula. Hi backstage. So I saw that Soul Pathologist had written this wonderful new questionnaire called Soul's Serendipitous Survey, because she likes alliteration apparently. and I thought it was so good that I wanted to do it with Soul herself. So I think she's here. Say hello.
Yes. Hello everyone who's listening. Hi.
It's Soul. So yeah, we decided we would do the questionnaire together because it looks fun. I haven't really looked at the questions. I presume that you've looked at the questions, Soul, at least once.
Yes, but I'm very disappointed.
Okay, she hates them.
No, I meant in your commitment to the questions.
Oh, right, my commitment to the questions. Well, this way I give you nice, fresh answers straight out of my oven, my brain oven. For you to enjoy, and hopefully you will have some fresh. You haven't done this yet, have you?
No.
Have you thought about it?
I have not really thought about it. Okay. When I do questionnaires, I don't really think about the answers I will give.
Okay, that's good, because that way they're also fresh out of your brain oven.
Yeah.
So what we thought we would do is we would ask each other the questions. So we'll both answer all of them, but we'll take turns in reading them out. So. Because you wrote the questionnaire, why don't you go first?
Let's start. Okay. So it says, number one, let's start with the small stuff. Since we are all nerds here, as I have found out, we know that in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if you are filthy rich, you can buy planets from the Margrethians. Please describe what planet you would like them to build for you.
Bracket.
No one likes desert planets.
Close bracket. It's funny because I am a nerd, but I don't remember this from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So I feel like I'm not enough of a nerd for you. So I'm very sorry about that. I'll try harder.
You should read it again.
I know, I should read more books. Oh gosh, if I was that rich. Yeah, that'd be cool. I quite like our planet, actually. As planets go, you know, like you sort of say in a lot of sci-fi books or maybe movies more, like you get like mono environmental planets, you know, like the ice planet and the desert planet.
Yes.
And that's just kind of boring, isn't it?
Don't shame my forest planet.
I'm going to shame your forest planet. like, you know, variety. If I'm rich, I can like travel around this planet like pretty easily in my spaceship. So all kinds of different things. I think having a like an archipelago planet would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of little islands with really deep ocean full of cool things would be really awesome. Because then you could like have sort of separate biomes on different islands, like really separate, and keep them kind of fresh. Yeah. Okay, I think that's what I would go for, like a archipelago. I can't say that word very well. So
planet with a lot of islands.
A planet with a lot of islands of different sizes, some big ones, some small ones. Yeah, that's what I would do.
Would you have a main one that you would have a cool house on and would stay most of the time?
If I'm rich enough to build a fucking planet, I'm going to have a bunch of houses on a bunch of different islands. Like,
okay.
Yeah, I would have like my, you know, tropical paradise house, kind of all wooden, up in the trees, looking over a bay. Ugh, no walls. I have my ice planet, my ice island house, like a big igloo underground or something, looking at the northern lights.
Okay.
Why can't I have this planet?
We will get there, maybe, in the future. Yeah. But probably we won't be rich enough.
Win the Euro Millions. It's coming, guys. What about you? What kind of planet would you like?
Well, I would like to have a forest planet.
Spoiler alert, guys. She wants to live with the Ewoks on fucking Endor.
Yes, I would have a lot of cats there. A lot of wild forest cats.
A big Norwegian forest cats.
Yes. And it would be very misty and rainy most of the time. A lot of moss on the ground.
You could just move to Finland. I don't know. Like, if anyone's from Finland listening to this, that's exactly what Finland is like.
I'm thinking about it.
except in summer when it's not only mossy and misty, there's also mosquitoes everywhere. Lots of lakes and things, rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you have like a treehouse?
No, not a treehouse, I think. I'm very afraid of heights.
Oh, yeah.
That would not be pretty bad for you.
Just stay in bed all day. I'm fine. I'm on the ground.
Getting a tiny heart attack every time I look out of the window.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool. No. So just an entire planet of forest.
Yes.
You won't get bored.
Maybe. But maybe. I mean, I'm rich enough to have another planet.
Okay, right. You just have like your holiday planet, which is just a beach.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So one planet of islands with variety and interesting things, and one Finland. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe if I'm bored, I can come visit you on an island you don't currently use because you have enough of them.
You have to get the visa. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know if I want any immigrants.
I see. You're not too keen on the idea.
I'm going to build a wall. Okay. Question two. When talking to Siri, Cortana, Alexa, etc. By the way, why are all these assistants female? Good question. I think there's an interesting answer to that. Do you say please and thank you? Do you think talking to electronic appliances like that could change our use of language as they get more common? Question mark.
I have since learned from other people who have answered this question that apparently the question is not that interesting. Number two,
really?
That that there were surveys and most people said that they experienced a female voice to be more comforting and that they did not trust the male voices as much.
Didn't trust them. What do they think they're going to do? Hey, Cortan, where's the nearest shop? Around the corner, motherfucker. Get out of here. This is what I heard as well, that people, humans, tend to prefer female voices. To answer the question, what do you think? Do you say thank you?
I say please and thank you, but I don't really use any of these services. Mm. I visited a friend who had an Echo Dot gifted to her, and we were kind of playing around with it, and some of us said please and thank you, and the others didn't, and so we had a discussion about that.
Mm. Well, it's interesting, I think. I think there's already a sort of, I think of like service cultures, like how do you treat the people who serve you? Mm-hmm. In a sort of loose sense of serve, right? Like retail workers and waiters and things like that. And, you know, a lot of people, if you read all these Reddit threads, I'm like, what's one red flag on a first date? It's like, if they're rude to people. It's like, yeah, okay, yes. Fair enough. But if we start replacing service workers or like that kind of thing with machines where there isn't the same obligation for politeness, will that seep into like rules of etiquette and things like that? If you're literally not being served by a person, will you start to treat other people not as people?
Yes.
I don't know.
I think especially some children already grow up with these services in their houses, and I think it could change their relationships to, well, people who do stuff for them.
Hmm. Yeah. I imagine, yeah. I mean, it's difficult to say. Like, I obviously didn't grow up in many houses, like maids and servants and butlers and things like that.
I'm so disappointed.
I know. And I don't know what like attitudes are like in people who do have that kind of thing, like whether they're encouraged by their parents to, you know, be polite and respectful of those people, like, you know, obviously see them as kind of having value in all this. But yeah, I think that's really interesting that you'll have a generation of kids growing up nowadays who, maybe not quite yet, because I think they're quite few and far between, really. Like, on your phone just to check directions when you have your hands full is one thing, but to have maybe in a couple years' time, like ordering groceries or turning on washing machines. I don't know, like all kinds of things.
Yes.
Making that much more common. Maybe it will impact human relations a little bit. I don't know. I think it'll be cool to find out.
So our answer is we don't have an answer yet.
Well, yeah, we don't have an answer yet. We don't know. Like, always trying to predict future technologies is like it's a fool's game, really.
Yes, but I think it's always interesting to think about it.
I think what's really interesting of that whole kind of futurism thing is not so much the predictions that do come right, but like looking back and going, what predictions did people of this time make? And how does that kind of, how does that reflect on the society that they live in at the moment? So like going back to like Victorian futurism or, you know, like 1950s futurism and things like that. And like seeing, yeah, in the 1950s, like everyone had a car that could fly and they all had fence, you know, white picket fence houses, you know, with two children and two, you know, mum and a dad. And but everything was done with machines, like, you know, the lawn was mown and the kitchen was kind of like really sort of like, let's just continue.
Yes.
With what we've got, yeah.
But they were pretty creative when it came to living concepts, actually. Mm. They had all these crazy concepts for new housing and stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah, certainly, like, I was just actually talking to a friend about this. Like, a lot of the sort of council flats in London, you look at them now and you think, oh, look at these ugly concrete tower flats. But when they were conceptualized in the 1960s, they were thought of like what we're going to make is this kind of like new way of living in a town, but in a city.
Yes.
Like we'll have all the public spaces, we'll have the shops, the living space all in one place, and people will be able to like build a community there. Obviously it didn't quite work like that, and they sort of turned into sink estates. But like it was quite interesting that there was these sort of like utopian goals.
Yes.
That they're trying to actualize.
And I think it's, I don't know how it is in England, but in Germany, we tend to look down on architecture and think of it as kind of depressing. But at the time, it was just amazing for people with low income to have their own flat and to have running water and toilet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not as negative as we view it today.
Mm. Yeah, and like having lived in some of them, like they're actually quite generous spaces as well. I don't know, like the rooms were quite big. You know, there was lots of light coming in the windows and stuff like that. It's just that they kind of through like other government policies like austerity and stuff like that, they never really kind of and maybe like not being conceptualized quite properly, like they didn't quite plan the space right. But you know, it was a first go at a kind of revolutionary idea. Anyway, yes, I think that kind of futurism is really interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm still fascinated by these. I don't want to talk about this too long, but yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff there.
So tip for people listening at home, look it up. Go have some fun. Do some research, guys.
Have homework.
Do your homework. Get smacks. Cool. Question three for you.
Okay, question three. I would not have asked if I knew I would be answering it with someone together. But question three is, share one or more tips to make masturbation even better.
Even better. So for me, this is probably quite a simple thing that people will be like, you fucking idiot. But I only started using lubrication to jerk off quite recently, like last year maybe, or this year or something like that. And it was something special, guys. It's
revolutionary.
Revolutionary new idea. It really kind of like, obviously, I don't know why that surprised me or anything like that, because I guess I'd been jerking off fine since then, before then. So it was kind of like, you know, I don't need this. It doesn't actually add that much.
This fancy new stuff.
All this fancy new technology the kids are using. but it was pretty cool. And maybe it like doesn't actually improve the orgasm, because I think that's like a fairly, you know, stationary feeling, but the build up is quite nice. The only problem is it's very messy. Like, if you want a quick wank, you know, suddenly you've got like both your hands are covered in lube. You can't quickly hide everything if you're trying to be sneaky. It's just for those people who don't live alone, you know, careful.
I mean, isn't it messy for guys anyways?
Yeah, but like you can control the mess slightly more, I think.
Okay.
Like you're not deliberately getting it all over your hands for one thing.
Yes. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like we have it a bit better in that department.
Yeah, some people, I've heard stories. It can be messy for women too.
Yes.
I've seen the videos, guys. I've been on the internet. So what's your great tip?
My great tip, I don't really have one.
I don't masturbate, it's fine.
I would never do such a thing.
I know.
Yes. Shower before, light a candle, have it nice and warm.
Listen to Tessa Sula, I think is the biggest tip. Definitely. Anyone can have. Yeah. Tell your friends.
All about GWA.
Well, about your masturbation, I mean, it's a tip. Oh, okay. Like, hey guys, I'm just going to be wanking in there. Okay, see you later. Take pictures is another good one.
Recorded.
I actually have quite a funny story about when I started masturbating, if you want to hear it.
Yes, please.
Okay. So, when I was much younger, so this is technically child pornography, guys. I hope you know that. My friend was telling me about masturbating, and the way he described it was like...
Where was your friend telling you about it?
I don't know, we were fucking 12 years old or something, maybe even younger, like it's just what you talk about. And the way he described it was more like, he's like, yeah, you jerk off. And he's like rubbing his hands together, you know, when you like rub it together, mm-hmm. like making fire. I was like, okay, I guess that's what you do, right? So for like the first couple of years of jerking off, that's what I did. Like I rubbed my hands, my cock between my hands like that.
You didn't figure out a better way to do it.
Well, like it was weird. It like wasn't perfect. But at the same time, I tried like, you know, stroking it like you normally, the sort of conventional way. And I was like, I'm not really getting anything out of this. It's not really working for me. It seems a lot harder. Like it kind of feel good, but it's like, it's not really getting to the edge there. So I was like, man, it's probably incorrect. I'll do it the proper way. So that's how I did it for a long time. And let me tell you, you can really chafe things. Like I wouldn't recommend doing it more than once in a day.
Maybe you could try it again with proper lubrication and see how it
proper
works
lubrication, out. Yeah, it might work.
Maybe that would be better.
Good point. I'll report back.
Yes, early masturbation is...
Okay.
Okay, next question. Okay.
Question four, guys. What is something that you like to eat that other people tend to find really disgusting? Bracket, weird combinations of food, etc.
I think my diet is complete trash.
Fair.
I don't eat enough, and when I eat, I don't eat proper food. But I don't really get shamed for my eating or any eating habits, but I constantly get shamed for how slow I eat. And this week I was eating lunch with some co-workers and they almost abandoned me because I could just not eat fast enough.
Okay. That's it's not really answering the question though.
What I like, what a lot of other people don't seem to like are these soft cakes. I think you call them Jaffa cakes.
Oh, Jaffa cakes, yeah.
These soft with orange jelly and mm-hmm. dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but a lot of people seem to think they're pretty disgusting.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about Jaffa cakes. If they're there, I'll probably eat them, but I don't really like choose them if I have a choice. You know, they're a bit weird.
They're great.
Okay, well, I'll know what to buy you when you come visit. Do I have any weird things that people tend to find really disgusting? I don't think so. Yeah, I can't really think of any of my food company. Like, it's one of those things, one of those questions where you're like sitting there going, no, I can't think of anything. And then as soon as you finish, you're like, oh yeah, I eat ham and jam at the same time or something.
I just want to say that you once said that you were eating fish fingers as a sandwich.
If you come to the UK, you'll find that is a very normal thing for people to do. Like, you can go to restaurants and get fish fingers.
And I think for Germans, a lot of things British people eat are a bit weird. We would never put a vinegar on chips or anything like that.
That's fair. Like, I don't like vinegar on my chips either. But then you go to Germany and you're like, oh, can I have some bread, please? And they get you this, like, dark black chunk of something. You're yeah, like,
because that's proper bread. It fills you and it's good for you. It's not... nothing.
I know. It's just different. It's just wrong.
No. It's great. Great bread. We have the best bread.
Okay, let's move on before World War III, guys.
What's the next? Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay. Do you have any self-care habits that can make you feel better at really stressful times?
Other than masturbation.
I conveniently left that out. But thanks for reminding me.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I find that I can get anxious about things. You know, thoughts running through my head a lot. It normally hits me kind of like when I'm trying to get to sleep because I don't have the distractions around me to sort of not think about it. You know, I can't play video games or can't go for walks and stuff like that. And there's a couple of things I do in that situation to help, and it's, you know, of mixed a big bag of results. So one thing that I find really good is actually listening to audios is quite good because it prevents that. It helps prevent that kind of like it overwhelms the voice in your head by being another voice in your head.
That's a very wholesome way to look at it.
Well, yeah. And if it's the right kind of voice, it can be quite soothing and sort of help me get to sleep. Equally.
Podcasts.
Yeah, podcasts. you know me, I just want women moaning.
Fair enough.
Alternatively, books can be quite good for that. As well, and actually reading a book on paper it's quite restful on your eyes, a bit more relaxing than looking at screens and things. So it's just a good idea in general. Finally, you know, but you can't fall asleep when you have a book in front of you, and it's hard to fall asleep when you've got headphones on.
Not true.
I mean, I have fallen asleep with headphones in my ear, but I like to sleep on my side, and the headphones like push into my eardrum, which is a bit annoying. So the final one is I like to just have stories running through my head. So I like have a long-running character who I can kind of refer back to and just do silly things, go on adventures.
That's a very cool one.
That can work.
But yeah, a friend of mine obviously falls asleep while reading. And she will not let me borrow her any books because she says she falls asleep and then drools on the books. So apparently you can fall asleep while reading, but I get the headphone problem. That's my problem too.
Do you have any self-care habits? Oh, baths as well.
Yes, I don't do those. I meditate, which always sounds kind of weird to tell someone. I don't know why. And yes, I think most people have these stressful thoughts running through their heads when they are about to fall asleep. And I just... Usually I try to think about nothing. I try to incorporate the methods you learn in meditation a bit into my falling asleep. And it has gotten a lot better since then. And yes, I'm always trying to have nice evenings that are a bit organized and where I have time for myself. It proves to be a bit difficult with my new job, but yeah, those are my self-care habits that are not very special. Yoga maybe, but I actually had to cancel my yoga classes because of my new job. So yeah,
you'll have to do home yoga.
Yes, I do. I have to find the discipline to do it as well as a class.
Yeah, and there's lots of if you have a television, you can watch a lot of good people on YouTube doing that kind of like courses and stuff, yoga stuff.
That's true.
To follow along with. Just a little hint and tip for all you at home. Okay.
Do you do that? Do you do yoga at home?
No, but I occasionally did. There was good Pilates stuff when I on YouTube, but I have such bad exercise habits that we don't want to get into that. moving quickly on. Question 6. What is the pettiest thing you have ever gotten into an argument about with someone? And did you manage to make up again? Bonus points if it led to a breakup. Drama llama. Yeah. Love it.
Hey, I want to get some information out.
Yeah.
By asking questions. I'm not really. I'm too lazy to get in fights with people usually.
Fair.
I mean, maybe this is completely wrong, but I think I'm pretty laid back, especially when it comes to friends I've known for a long time or relationships. But recently or earlier this year, I have gotten into a fight with someone and it has ended our friendship.
You're laughing, but I'm not sure if it's funny.
It was kind of this weird. She is a very interesting person and I kind of got to know her better, and in this way where I kind of saw it as a bit of social research. Because she was so different from me, and it was very interesting to get into her a little bit. I sound so cruel when I say that, but it was not like we were personally invested in each other.
Okay.
And yeah, then we had a really stupid fight because we were chatting with other people in a WhatsApp group, and I had not read something she had wrote. And she came at me when we saw each other the next time, and she was like, yeah, I know you said sorry for not seeing what I wrote, but I know you were lying. I was like, I was not lying, but I don't need someone to tell me that I'm lying. With everyone else, with most of my friends, I would just have said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I hope we can carry on. But with her, it somehow evolved into a full-blown argument. And yeah.
Wow. Is she dead now? Did you kill her?
No, she's well. I saw her last week.
Well, it wasn't a breakup, at least, like a remote relationship breakup.
No. I never had a really petty argument in a relationship, I think.
Okay, shall I answer?
Yes, if you want to. You can still get out of this questionnaire.
It's true, I can just exit anytime. I can't I think I could sort of think of two things, I guess. Like, I have a lot of siblings. Well, I mean, a lot. I have three siblings.
Oh, that makes for great opportunities.
Yeah. So, like, pretty much every argument I had until I was, you know, 15 or whatever was basically a petty argument of some form or another. Like, I have an older brother, especially, so we're quite close in age. So you can imagine, basically anything to do with playing games or sweets or toys or books or going to the toilet or sleeping in the bed or, you know, eating food was an argument of some kind.
That sounds like such a stressful way to grow up. I always was a bit sad that I don't have any siblings, but maybe it's not that bad, actually.
Swings and roundabouts, they're good things. I mean, now we have I have a good relationship with all my siblings, like a really strong family relationship. So, but part of that was going to boarding school and not having to see them for years at a time.
They needed a bit of a time out.
I think so. I think actually going away, and also from my parents and from my siblings at that really difficult teenage years, you know, sort of 13 to 18, meant that we didn't have the same kind of like clashes that we might have had if we were all together still, because we're all in our own space.
Yes, but I imagine
might have been healthy.
I don't know. I really cannot imagine it. But then again, I have a really weird relationship to my mom. So
yeah,
maybe I'm not in the right position.
It's different. It's different. But yeah, so I think that's probably... I also had a pretty petty argument with one of my friends in boarding school as well. And like, it happened right at the end of school term. So we kind of like fell out a bit, and then we went on Christmas holiday, and by the time we came back, it's kind of like, who cares? Like, let's pretend nothing happened and we just move on. Which I think is maybe the best way for two boys to get over it. But no
talking it out.
No talking it out, just moving on. But I haven't really had like a petty argument in relationship.
That's good. Now I feel a bit bad because my last petty argument was this year, and yours were all in your teenage years.
I'm just a better person than you, so that's okay.
I know.
Yeah. Deal with it, man.
Okay. So, no.
Now the good question.
The good question. Is that the good question? If you had to choose one politician to start posting on GWA, who would you pick? What do you think would they do for their first audio?
I mean, how is anyone supposed to answer this question? What did you have in mind when you wrote this?
I don't know. I think I didn't have someone in mind who would be good. I just thought it would be funny. I thought maybe, I don't know, Sarah Palin could do some MILF and have sex with my daughter stuff.
That new congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is quite attractive. I guess maybe she could do some sexy audios about redistribution of the means of sexual reproduction. I don't know. That's about all I can come up with. I was like thinking Angela Merkel, but like I don't think anyone here.
I don't think anyone wants
serious. Well, she's like the daughter of a... No, that's Theresa May's the daughter of a priest.
Angela Merkel too.
Oh, okay. It's just priest's daughter becoming prime minister's. Got it. Yes.
But maybe she could do some sexy stuff about physics. She has a doctorate.
Oh yeah, she has a doctorate, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she could do something strict.
We're so good at that.
Very good at that. What about you?
Well, as I said, I only have kind of troll answers to that question. Maybe if I would choose, I think
you want Justin Trudeau to, I don't know, Trudeau in your ear.
Say, I think Justin Trudeau or Macron could be quite popular in GWA. I think they could do well. Especially, I don't know, are women into the French accent?
Mm. You could mix it up.
I don't know why I'm asking you.
He could do a bilingual audio.
Yes.
Where he's like, he could play two characters, English Trudeau and French Trudeau, and one of them is like trying to get you to do something, the other one's like, no, we can't do it, it's too dirty. And it's like, oh, yes, we can do dirty things together. Except in actual French rather than a bad French accent.
Yes, I think that would be quite popular. I get asked to do bilingual stuff all the time. So people seem to be interested in it. I don't get it either.
Yeah.
Especially not like German.
Yeah, I like to understand myself. But anyway, that's not here nor there. And Justin Trudeau could also post pictures because he's pretty hot. So, you know.
Yeah, I think he would be popular.
He was very successful.
Yeah.
So if Justin, if you're listening,
please
just give it a go. Like, I think you'd be very successful. Probably make more money than you do as
the community.
Prime Minister. Mm. Okay. Moving quickly on from Justin Trudeau's poor audio.
I feel like you want to move on quickly from all of my questions.
I just don't know how to finish the thought about politicians getting into erotic audio. Like, I kind of like, I think we've said what we have to say about that, guys.
Okay, get on quickly.
Okay. Get on quickly, guys. If you could choose one famous painting to hang inside your house, which one would you pick?
I'm afraid my flat is not big enough for it. But
oh, fuck. Were you talking like a Rembrandt or something?
No, but maybe similar. I think I would choose The Altar of the Last Judgment by Roger van der Weyden.
The Altar of the Last Judgment?
Yes.
Altar of the Last Judgment. I'm just Googling it. I want to see what it is.
It's pretty cool. It's very impressive. And it's
by Michelangelo.
No, that's not the one.
Oh, The Altar of the Last. Sorry, this is just The Last Judgment.
There are a lot of altars of Last Judgment. Christians are kind of into it.
Who is it by?
Roger van der Weyden. I don't know how.
Oh, is it like a panel? There's quite a lot of different sections to it. Yeah, okay, I see it now. It's very orange.
Yes.
Yellow.
Very bright.
This is what you want in your house?
I'm not sure, but it's so cool.
It's a bit, okay.
It's not about how it looks. It's more about the history of it.
Okay, fair. You do have an educational background in this.
Well, that does not mean that I have good taste. But as I said, it would not really be about
the look.
Thank you.
I urge everyone to look up The Altar of the Last Judgment by van der Weyden.
It's so impressive. You have to look at the details. It's a great piece.
Yeah, I'm like, intellectually, I'm impressed.
Visually, I'm shocked.
This one, when I wake up looking up from my bed, and every morning I see this this. Yeah, cool. It's good pick.
You would not have it open usually.
It's interesting.
Okay, what would be your pick?
Well, the only one that I can think
would
of
would do so much better.
Well, I literally went to an art gallery yesterday. I just spotted it when I was shopping. And there was these perfect like pieces of art that I desperately want. So I'm actually looking into getting some. And it's just this person takes skulls basically of like rams or deer or moose or warthogs and like paints them like paints on the skulls.
You sure I'm the edgy one in this conversation?
Yeah. I've always loved like skulls. I've always wanted one. And so either you can get like the skull itself, or you can get prints of just pictures of them on black or white backgrounds. And so I'm looking into getting some of that. And basically, I think that would look so cool. This enormous gold ram skull on a black background, and it just looks amazing. So we'll see. And it would look very good above my couch or above my bed. So I'm looking into that. Otherwise, I went to this art gallery once. I can't remember who the artist was. Just trying to remember.
I mean, at least I went big and bold.
Yeah, this is a very big and bold picture as well. It's like it's just this. They use like really thick paint. Mm-hmm. So it's like very like I don't know what's called it, like maybe oil paint, where it's kind of like very thick and it kind of textures onto the canvas.
Yeah, so you can see the brush strokes in the paint.
But even thicker than like that. I don't know if it's oil or vinyl or something like that. Anyway, but like
okay.
And the canvases are sort of like I don't know, 8 feet across or 9 feet across or something like that. And up close is just like it's just like, you know, brush strokes. But from a distance, it's this wonderful vista of a road. I think it's an image of like the First World War or Second World War, something like that.
Okay.
And it's just very powerful. And like, I just love that textured physicality of the painting. So I've always been looking for something like that to hang in my house. But if I could get that, it wouldn't fit anywhere. My walls, like I don't even think the ceilings are high enough.
that's pretty cool. I have bought some pieces from artists I have made exhibitions for, and it's always nice to have that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd be quite excited to get my own painting, like proper artist sort of work on my wall. Okay.
So you're working on starting your collection currently?
Exactly. I'm just waiting for an email from the curator, the person who had the gallery, and we'll see how it goes. Either I'll get a proper skull or I'll get a picture of a skull. I'm not sure which one.
where would you display the skull? Do you have a good place for it?
Well, she made the point. She was like, "What are your walls?" And I was like, because she's like knocking on the wall. I was like, you know, hers is concrete. Yes, mine is like plaster. So she's a bit like, these skulls are quite heavy. And I was like, you are right. They do say they're pretty fucking heavy.
Because when I worked at an art gallery, we sometimes had to visit people at home and tell them where they could hang or display their stuff best. And that's always complicated.
Basically, yeah. It would probably be above my couch or it'd be above the back of the bed. I think it's the only real place you could put it. And there are like some bits of the wall which are a bit thicker, but I don't know. It would be tricky.
Always nice to visit someone who has a skull above their bed.
Yeah, but a gold skull.
Okay. That makes it so much better.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to spending all my money on that shit.
Very good.
Not cheap. but it's like, I want it. Okay. Your turn.
9, I think. Yes. For me.
9.
9.
Number 9.
We're almost done. Number 9. Yes. For me, most of the time, there is something I am curious about. Maybe just really small stuff, like trying out a new recipe, maybe other things. What are you curious about at the moment, or are you not the curious type?
Sort of, I guess. Like, I like to read about things, really.
not getting yourself into the danger of making the experience yourself, but read about it. I can relate to that.
Yeah. Sorry, the example you gave was like making food. Like, yeah, I like to try it and recipes like that, but like, probably not as exciting as some people. Getting nonfiction books about different subjects and things like that that catch my interest. For a while, it was sort of like Russian politics and Russian history. It's kind of moved into sort of the Trump administration and America's kind of.
That sounds very scary.
Alt-right politics.
Oh, no.
And then the latest one was probably like race and class in the UK. Yeah, I mean, it's probably not quite as, you know, thrilling to sort of say, yeah, I'll read books, guys. I'm really interested in stuff. But that's probably it, I suppose. Yeah.
But I think that's very good. I mean,
It's okay. Yeah. pretty boring. But
expand your knowledge and learn new things.
Yeah, good. I guess. Yeah, I suppose. How about you? Anything catching your mind today, yesterday, the day before? Apart from making pornography. I mean, obviously, we both make pornography. So, like, there's that. That's what we do. That's interesting.
Obviously, I was very curious about that in the last week.
Yeah.
Had a bit of an output.
Very important
what
output.
Else am I curious about? I am helping to curate an exhibition about architecture that partly has never been built. So I have been diving into that a bit because it's super interesting. Mm-hmm. There are these crazy, crazy ideas and buildings and concepts. Mm. That's really cool. And I've been trying to find a good book about it, but there does not seem to be much literature about it as a whole.
There you go. Academic subject to do.
Nah.
Thesis. PhD.
Yeah, maybe. I'm still... I'm actually curious about writing my PhD or doing my PhD, but I'm not so sure about it yet because it seems to be a lot of work.
So I've heard from people who have done them.
I know a lot of people who have started and have never finished.
Yep. Yep. Like my dad.
Well, at least he has started, I guess.
40 years ago.
A friend of mine who has been trying to write her thesis for a very long time just invited me to a party to celebrate her giving up. And she says she wants to burn her thesis to just get done with it, to make a point.
Yeah, closure. Get some closure.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. It's not for everyone.
Well, maybe it helps. We will see if there will be tears. I hope not.
That's true. Maybe she should burn it.
I guess she still has it on her computer, but she will burn a physical copy. I will see. It's definitely one of the more interesting parties I've been invited to the last time.
So maybe you will be. You currently have an interest in partly fictional buildings.
Yes.
That's cool. That's an interesting area of expertise.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's
what could have been.
Really interesting. Super cool.
It's almost China Mieville-esque.
Yeah, there are some things that would definitely he would be a fan, I think. But then again, I think he seems to be a fan of a lot of stuff. He seems to be easily excited about various topics.
Yeah. Did you see the talk about Halloween and monsters and things?
No, but I've seen that he has written an introduction about for a book that dealt with I think, gothic monsters.
Mm. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. A lot of interests. Mainly very trains, busy. Monsters, and octopus.
It's a good field to be an expert in.
Yeah. Okay, question 10. Have you ever done something that, objectively judged, was pretty stupid, but you're still glad that you've done it? If so, what was it?
I thought when you said, excuse me, you were going to correct my grammar.
No. Your English is still better than mine, don't worry.
Yes, I think usually I'm very... I don't do a lot of stupid things.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Maybe you could... I'm not so sure about it, that actually. I have posted audio porn on the internet, which...
What?
...may not be a smart thing to do. And I have studied art history, which is actually not that smart of a thing to do. It's a lot of fun, but it's not
very economically valuable.
No, not a very good idea. I mean, it has worked out for me pretty well. Yeah. I was a bit afraid that I would not get any job.
Yeah.
Now I'm working way too much, but yeah, it's fun. Then I got a tattoo.
Oh my god.
Not a real tattoo, actually.
Oh my god.
A friend of mine gave me a tattoo when I was 70. A needle and some ink.
There you go. So you just got how you get TB. It's all cool.
I think that was definitely the most stupid thing I have ever done, but I still really like it. It's very small and you can hide it easily. And otherwise, I would never have gotten a tattoo. It was just a spur of the moment kind of thing.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think those are all pretty good answers.
Those are all dumb choices. Congratulations. You make a lot of those.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of if I've made any. Well, it's like one of those questions where it's sort of like, what's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done kind of thing. And I don't really have any good answers for that either. I tend to be quite conservative in terms of decision making, I think. I can't think of anything that I'd done that was pretty, I've done like stupid things, obviously, but like,
the longer I think about this question, actually, the more I can think of.
Oh, just keep going. Just keep going.
No.
Good old day. Well, I need things to spur my imagination. So you have to tell me, and I can go like, oh yeah, I've done something. So give me some more.
I had stupid sex. I had sex in a changing room in a public pool. That was not smart. Really not smart, really stupid. I think my problem is when usually I'm...
Horny.
Yes. Thanks for pointing it out.
That's okay, that's what I'm here for.
I want to say usually I make good decisions, even though now I'm not so sure about that anymore.
You're not convinced.
When I feel like something, I can just, I don't have any problem to just go along with the flow.
Yeah, I've got nothing. Guys, I'm the worst. I just make always the best decision. I mean, the only thing I can think about is like being younger and like clambering over, you know, rocks and like going down the sewers and playing in weird buildings.
Sewers.
Yeah, you know. And that probably wasn't
casual stuff.
Probably wasn't like the best decision to do. Like it probably like if I had slipped or something in my leg or cracked open my head and died. But I didn't. And it was fun. And So, you know.
Maybe you should do, you should make some more bad decisions. They can be pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I'll just make good bad decisions.
Start today.
Start today. Okay, I'll make an audio today.
It's a bad decision.
It's always a bad decision. Always a bad decision. Okay, that's it. That's all I've got. I'm sorry. It's terrible. It's weak.
I don't know. Okay, this is my favorite, actually. A lot of people probably hate it, but number 11 is not a question. It's, please give me a short ramble about your current obsession. Can be anything. How an old lady on the street smiled at you, a movie you've seen, a cool new fact you have learned, amazing sex you've had, etc., etc. I just really love to hear people talk about what they are obsessed with.
Call me at like a weird time, like kind of in between things. Like I'm writing the story, but I don't really want to go into a ramble about that.
It would be a long ramble.
Yeah, I guess like I'm really excited about this potential owning like a piece of art thing. Like I have art on my walls, but like my sister painted like three of them. And she's good, but like the ones that I've got are very early pieces that she did, so they're not her best.
Super cool. So she really works as an artist?
No, she doesn't work, but she just likes to paint, and she's done quite a few, like the ones that she gave some to my parents, and the one that she gave to my parents, and the couple that she has up in her own house. Oh, I love them so much, but it's like
that's but super she's, great.
But I have the ones that. Like she did really early on, like which are like they're fine, but they're not her best. So I was like, why can't I have those ones?
I'm sure I like can get a new one for Christmas, maybe.
Well, she's got a kid now, so she's kind of like been on a hiatus.
Okay.
But then, like, I've got like something from my grandmother when she passed away, and some other things, like a poster from China, which is quite cool. But like going to an art gallery and buying a piece of like not something I've ever done before in my life, and I've always had this image of skulls and horns, and I went to one in Brighton, and there was this picture. I think it was like a pencil drawing, but the artist had done some of the details in gold, and it just looked amazing. Like, oh wow!
I see skulls in gold are the way to go.
way to my heart, yeah. But then seeing this across the road and just seeing it in the window and like going across, and then the curator being like really like, oh, are you interested? Like, you know, here's all the details and stuff like that. And actually making it sound like it was a real thing that I could do. Kind of really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've never done that.
Yeah. And then just kind of realizing that I did have the resources for it as well. And so going like, yeah, you know, I could do this. Makes me quite excited and something like, actually, yeah, why not? So that could be something that happens, and I think it looks so. It's just so good. It's so good. The only like decision is: like, do I actually want a physical skull in my house? Or like a print is like slightly easier because it just, you know, it's just a rectangle that I could probably stick up myself. But whereas the skull is slightly more physical, and certainly if I moved right, like how the fuck do I move it?
But doesn't the gallery provide a service where they will put it on your wall?
I mean, she did sort of like when I talked about work, like she's like, you know, something like the skull, she would probably come around and help deliver it to make sure, and then they can consult with like the artist about mounting it and stuff like that, like
yes, exactly,
the points and where it would hang. I'm a bit like, like I'd be a bit embarrassed. Like she'd come around to my flat and be like, "Oh, okay." didn't realize you were fucking buying.
That's where my art's going to be.
Yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the art you currently have. Oh, got it. So, but fuck it. But yeah, I'm just quite excited about doing this, and so I'm just kind of like waiting for this email to arrive with all the sort of details about the piece that I thought was particularly good, because it wasn't up in the gallery itself. So yeah, that's sort of what I'm excited about at the moment. Ready to spend my fortune on it.
Well, I mean, if you're excited about it, go for it. It's great. Maybe you can one day ascend into the circles where you will be invited to the gallery after hours, because that's usually how we do it.
That's how you do it, I bet.
Well, not me, but not that's how the galleries I've worked at do it, with their best customers.
Exclusive customers, yeah.
So it's your first step towards that.
Yeah, maybe one day. But I'll probably keep track of the artist, because I think she does really interesting. Well, like, as you, I mean, maybe not. No one else finds it interesting, but I find it beautiful. Work. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. How about you? What are you thinking about? What's in your mind?
It's very boring, and it's architecture again.
But
I found an amazing website, and I'm so into it. It's called McMansion Hell. And
McMansion Hell. Oh, it's about the American McMansions.
Yes. And it's so funny. It just dissects this terrible architecture, and I can spend hours looking at it. And yeah, there's so much terrible architecture out there, but that's a way to make it fun to look at it. And I think the person who does this blog is an art history architecture student as well, and she makes it really fun. But at the same time, she's really educated about it and knows what to look for. And yeah, I spend way too much time looking at it.
I'm just scrolling through quickly.
Isn't it amazing? The terrible houses. I love it so much. I think no one else gets into it as much as I do, but I'm delighted. I love it.
I mean, what I find most interesting, like, I also find it interesting about critiques, basically. The art of criticism. Being able to watch or read experts critiquing something is so rewarding in many ways. Because I can look at like some of these houses and go like, yeah, I mean, okay, they're kind of garish and big and stuff like that. But like, I couldn't articulate what is kind of weird about them. Whereas now I can see these, you know, admittedly like comedic looking at him, but like it just makes me feel like, oh, okay, yeah, she's articulating something really clever. Like, yeah, there's this enormous house with no light, like no natural light, because it's just an enormous dome basically with no windows, so there's all this interior space that will have no light, and so they have to force in these random windows.
Yes, and it really reminds me of one of my professors. I cannot remember, but we talked about the house of an American president, and he was just totally shitting on it. He was like, where's the symmetry? This is so wrong. You cannot build like that.
Well, I'm glad that you are having lots of fun.
I'm really, really bad when it comes to that. When I walk through the city and I see bad houses, I will tell my friends what's wrong about this house. So sometimes I'm amazed I still have friends.
You're lovely. I'm sure you have many good friends who enjoy you pointing at houses and going, look at this, it's awful.
Yes.
Okay, question 12. Please use 3 song titles to describe your personality.
Oh God, I should have thought about this before.
Yeah, this is a hard one.
This is really hard. There's a song by Garbage. It's called I'm Only Happy When It Rains.
Okay.
I think that's pretty close. Maybe you can do one and I can think about the next to make it easier.
There's a song by Ida Maria called I'd Like You So Much Better When You're Naked.
When you're what?
When you're naked.
Ah.
Okay, your turn.
And this is very depressing and it's not true at all, but it's the only thing I can think about. It's called I Don't Wanna Be Me by Type O Negative. Maybe.
Terrible. My second one is Mbop by what's the name?
Hansen.
By Hansen, yeah.
What kind of description is that?
You know, I like to Mbop.
Okay.
Little dance. Little dance. Little dance, guys. Little white boy dance.
Okay, my last one would be I don't actually like the song that much, which
yeah.
might be shocking to you as a British person, but Mr. Brightside.
Yeah. Love that song.
I've heard it's very, very popular in Britain.
Oh, yeah. Fucking still is, I think. You go to club.
I think it's
been, Mr.
it's been on the charts for since it came out or something.
Yeah, certainly was like when I was at university, dancing in that in clubs and then like going to weddings and like, oh yeah, people still dance in that shit. It's great.
Yeah, it's good when it's last, when it lasts.
And I think my last one is going to be by the Backstreet Boys. I Want It That Way. I Like You Better When You're Naked, but I Want It That Way. See, perfect. Fits together.
Yes, totally. I mean, mine are not better, and I should think about these questions.
Should have made a fucking 3-part story ready for me.
I mean, I should think about these questions while I ask them, and maybe think about the possibility to answer them, not just throw them at people.
And well, run away.
Too late now. I didn't run away. I mean, I'm here to answer with you.
True. Very brave.
Very, very brave. Another stupid decision I can add to my list.
So, don't worry, you still got question 13 to make.
Yes.
Good decisions.
Is it my turn?
It's an odd number. Yeah, it's you.
Okay. I could have used that method to know which answers are mine to ask, but I didn't.
Just a little bit of maths.
If this is not too personal, what was the most awkward thing that has ever happened to you during sex?
It is too personal. No, I'm just kidding. So, I mean, apart from like the very usual, which I think happens to plenty of men, certainly, is just not being able to kind of keep it up, really. just sort of losing steam, which has actually, I've been with, the people I've been with tend to be very like good people. That's why I have sex with them. So it's like, it's never a big deal. Just move on to other things.
I think I wouldn't even count that as awkward. I mean, it has happened to me before with a partner, but I would never would have thought about that as an answer to that question.
Mm. Well, from the men's perspective, it does feel.
I can imagine that it's not the best feeling, maybe.
No, it's not. But actually, not too long ago, quite recently, actually. Sex and I farted.
That's great.
in quite a quiet quiet moment. quite loudly, very obviously. couldn't pretend it was like the bed moving or something. Nope. It was just me.
Did it turn out to be funny or was it awkward? awkward afterwards.
it was more funny than awkward. it was fine, but I it just felt really
comedy time. Good answer.
Thank you.
I kind of like these weird noises that happen during sex. I think they are not something to be embarrassed about.
I think it's one thing to say don't be embarrassed, as in, but another thing to say like I wasn't embarrassed. Like,
yeah,
everyone has to live with them, but yeah,
it happens. It's hard.
Yeah, and now you have to answer the question.
Okay, I'm just, well, weird noises happen apparently, but I have never farted. I can say that.
Sure.
Just to shame you even more. I think I've had some awkward experiences afterwards. I have told one in my AMA, which was definitely one of the worst moments of my life.
Good times.
When I was just, for everyone who hasn't heard it, when I was just standing in my then boyfriend's bathroom and his flatmate came in because I hadn't locked the door because I thought nobody was home and I was so wrong. He had to see me wipe off his flatmate's cum.
Yes.
That really hurts. And I had a kind of cute one when I had sex with someone. And afterwards, it was this time you come down a little bit and it gets a bit more loving. And he kissed me on the forehead, which was very sweet. And then he said, you know, your scalp skin is very dry. You should do something about it. I was like, well, thanks for your concern, but it's not exactly the right room moment.
Cheers, man.
You could have mentioned it later.
Cheers, man.
Maybe my tip would be don't do that.
Yeah, if you want to take any tips out of these guys, don't start judging the dryness of your sexual partner's skin after you fuck them.
Yes. Yeah, just wait 5 minutes more, maybe.
Yeah, give it a bit of time. cool. I think that's all of them.
Yay, you've made it.
Yay, we did it.
It's over.
It's over. You can stop listening. You can all return to your normal lives knowing that Sol has a very dry forehead.
Yay.
I just want to say thank you very much for the questions, Sol. They're really cool and very fun. Thank you for doing them with me.
Yes. Thanks for answering them with me and answering the questionnaire. And apparently I should keep in mind better how to answer the questions I ask.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. Like, the best questions come out of these kind of questions. The ones you don't think about too much. Yeah. Yes. And thank everyone for listening. I hope you have very nice days.
If anyone has made it this far.
If you have, well done. It's bye from me, Tessa Sula.
It's bye from me too. I will not hang around here alone.
Bye.
Bye.